You're listening to the Floodgates Podcast, and we are live at our Sunday gathering.
Let's go.
Come on.
Live in Wesley Chapel. Let's go.
Excited to be here. We are live at our Sunday gathering, and today's going to be fun. It's going to be a little bit different, and we were really excited after Forum, and we did our first live podcast, and we're like, we got to do this again. We got to make this happen, and we're like, what would it look like if we did a podcast at our Sunday gathering? Yes, and so cool. This goes beyond this room.
Yeah,
there's people living in Europe listening, in Africa, China, in Asia, all over the US, so many cities. This podcast truly, it reaches more borders than we could do on our own just in this room. So we love to just have conversations like this. My name is Joey Brake, if we've never met.
And I'm Kenton Brake.
And we truly love to just have a space where we can have conversations that we could dive into, conversations that can be a catalyst for faith and for change, for community. And I truly believe that it helps so many people. I've gotten messages, I've got DMs, we've even Floodgates always gets people hearing how much the podcast has truly influenced them. And so it's just a way that we can reach the world. It's our global influence beyond this room, beyond our city. It's a way that we can share the light and love of Jesus beyond our reach, beyond places that we could go weekly or monthly, but it really gets into the hands of people that truly need it. And so tonight, we're starting a new collection. We're calling it Run Club. And the heart behind this collection truly is a collection all around the spiritual formation for the race of faith. Today we're going to be focusing on just that. We're going to be talking about the thought, keep moving forward. And today we have one of my best friends on the podcast. Okay. We have him in the room live with us, Matt Nichols. Come on, make some noise for him, everybody.
Hello.
What's up, Matt? Welcome, Matt.
Matt is one of my best friends. We've known each other for a few years now. Yep. And each year we just get closer and closer. And I love your story. I love I remember the first time I heard it, I was just blown away of the things God has done in your life. And as we were talking about the podcast today, I told my dad, I was just like, we got to get my friend Matt on the pod. Because I truly believe it, as we talk about keep moving forward, it relates so much to your story. I'm so excited for people to hear just what God has done truly. And just because he's done it in your life, it means he's able to do it in their life. And
absolutely.
So I really believe that this is going to be an amazing conversation. And I want to encourage you, if you're in the room, if you're listening to this, take notes, lean in. Yeah. I believe that there's so much power in people's story that we could see when God can move in someone else's life, that means he can move in my life too. And it's so encouraging to see when God moves in someone's life, it gives us so much hope, so much faith. And as we talk about the race of faith today, I think it's really vital that we pay attention to this moment. And so maybe go ahead, introduce yourself, share a little bit of your background, your history, give us the origin of Matt Nichols, and maybe like kind of from the beginning, and like, or start, say what you do today, and then we'll start with what you do today, and then we'll go backwards.
Okay. So hello, everyone. I'm Matt, and first of all, thank you for having me on this. It's an honor to be here with you guys in Floodgates. So currently, obviously, I'm his best friend. We met at the Harbor, actually. He used to work at this church called the Harbor for a little bit. And so it's been a blessing knowing him. But really, currently, I own my own business named OPS. Let's shout out. It stands for Optimized Performance Systems. So sponsored by OPS. But I do online and in-person training, personal training. So funny enough, I actually train these Natasha and Joey.
Everybody.
Yep. Yeah. I train them online. So I do that, and I am finishing up grad school at the University of South Florida. Nice. So I study exercise science. Would you guess, right? And I did my bachelor's there as well. So I finished that in 2023. So I guess the main things about me is I own my own company for OPS, and then I'm also the president of the powerlifting club at USF, which is a very meaningful thing for me. you know, it's a club in a lot of people's eyes, but I treat that club as like a team, and that's something that means a lot to me and a big part of me.
And he's back-to-back champions.
Back-to-back state champions.
Within the past 3 years, they're 2 years back-to-back.
That's right.
Champions, yeah. Which yep. is a big deal. Yep. So I have to show
thank you. Thank you. And the biggest and best thing, I can't forget to mention this, I recently got engaged.
Let's go!
My fiance, Reagan Black, right there.
I love you, Reagan.
So, yeah, that's my current life right now. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Yeah.
So give us the origin of where it started. So that's where you are today.
Yep.
But let's like backtrack to like young Matt. Start there.
How young are we talking?
You know your story. You go for it.
Okay. So I'll tell the origin of where I created OPS, which is a pretty, I guess, cool story. So I started powerlifting when I was young, which powerlifting, if you don't know, it's a sport for squat, bench, and deadlift. So you're trying to be as strong as you can in all three of those movements. So if you ever seen, like, if you ever watched the Olympics, you're watching like Olympic weightlifting where they're lifting it over their head. It's the same thing, but for squat, bench, and deadlift, trying to lift as much weight as possible. So I started competing, probably 2020, 2021. And I was going into my first meet, and I had this whiteboard in my room. And so I don't even know how it came to me. But I decided to, you know, I used to write like a daily or a weekly word on the whiteboard, as like motivation going into my first competition and whatnot. And the word that I wrote going into my competition that we kept on the whiteboard was optimized. And the whole goal was to do everything in your power to optimize everything. You know, when you're trying to train for a competition, you got to control your nutrition, your sleep, your training, you know, everything.
Yeah,
so the whole goal was, if I can optimize everything in my life, you know, I'm gonna be able to do as best as I can. So that's where my whole optimized performance systems came about, was just going into that first meet. That was my whole motto. And shortly after that meet, I believe, I get confused on when I started, to be honest, but I think that's when I basically started my company. And from there, that's where OPS began. And through that, I then became the president of the powerlifting club. And that's been quite the journey. That's really the origination of OPS, is just going into my first meet, having quite literally simply a word on my whiteboard.
Very cool. And as we start this collection today, Run Club, talking about like spiritual formation, this whole idea was kind of inspired by 2 Timothy. I don't know, do you want to share the verse a little bit of, I fought the fight, kept the faith, and I finished the race.
Yeah, basically what Paul is saying, he's challenging us to really be resilient, to have a mindset that, yeah, you can do all that you can do, but there's going to be moments in life where you're going to have to lean on a higher power. You have to lean on the Spirit of God to guide you. And so really, you can fight often, you can run often, but if you're not keeping the faith, I think that's what Paul was emphasizing, that there's an ingredient in life called faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Absolutely.
So as we go through life, there's going to be training moments. I mean, I'm sure you didn't just go in there and lift all this heavy weight all at once without training.
Absolutely.
Not having resilience and discipline and practicing and setting goals and moving higher and higher as you go through it. And I think that's when it comes to our spiritual faith. I think, okay, we're saved, we're baptized, what's next? And we think like we have it all figured out. And it's really a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned through this moment, I love this idea of spiritual formation and running, is that it's a marathon. It's not something that's going to happen right then and there. It's like when you plant that seed, it takes a while to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We want the fruit instantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to go and start taking all the fruit off the tree, and then what?
Yeah.
You have to wait till it blossoms again.
Yeah.
So there's a whole discipline to running. We're going to go over that over the next few weeks, but of understanding that really resilience is the word that I keep thinking of as we talk about this tonight.
Yeah, and something we even talk about often is like, oftentimes we get disappointed because we don't see the results as quick as we want to see them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that often that discouragement is what stops us from keep on going and keep moving forward.
Yep.
Because we were working so hard at something, at the goal, or praying for something to happen, or we're believing for something. And really faith is what we're talking about. Run Club is because one, it's important to run in a community of people, but also it's like when you're running, it's like you have to know how to last the long haul.
Yep.
Like it's not about the speed at which you're running. It's about the distance.
Yep.
Like what's the end goal? Every runner runs for a purpose, for a distance, whether it's 5K, whether it's a half marathon, whether it's a full marathon, whether it's an ultra, whether it's like until you cannot run anymore. I believe that's what faith is. It's like an ultra of like, you never know, but you got to give it all you got, every ounce in the tank. But really we want to kind of encourage you that this resilience is what will keep you moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, James chapter 1:2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I love this verse because it's all about how the challenge can produce character. It's all about how like pushing through the pain can actually produce perseverance. And when we're talking about this walk with Jesus, this race of faith, you know, it's going to take perseverance. You know, it's just one moment when you give your life to Jesus, but each and every day after that, you're going to have to say yes and yes and yes and yes again. Like even with you, when you're training me, you give me a 4-week block and I have to say yes the first week and show up on that Monday. And then week two, it's harder. I have to show up again. And week three, it gets harder. And I have to show up again on a Saturday when the last thing I want to do is show up. That's perseverance. Absolutely. Keep on moving forward. Even when it gets harder, continue to show up. And I think your life is a true display of perseverance. In many areas, personally, in your business, in your powerlifting. And that's why I was so excited to have you on here, because I truly want people to hear the story of what perseverance truly looks like. And a lot of times it's not picture perfect. It's not like, man, I'm gonna show up today and everything was great. What does it look like when you show up in the hard days? And the hard times, and the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Has your faith been tested? Are you willing to show up? And so maybe take a moment and if you're willing to share with like maybe your childhood and how you grow up. And I love the story of how you found yourself in church. And I really believe that's a true story and testament of the testing of faith. How to find pure joy in the trial, but truly developing perseverance.
Yeah, so I had quite the childhood. So to begin, by the grace of God, I'm in the position I am today. But I was born firstly, right? and then unfortunately, a few months later, my dad passed away. So I was very young. And obviously at that point, I wasn't really able to really even comprehend what was going on. But that was the first, interesting thing that happened. I grew up without a dad, which has been definitely an interesting thing to, grow up without. And then, after that, obviously I grew up with a mother, and, I was with my mother for a little bit. Just me and her. And then she met someone who was not a great guy. You know, you name it, he was that. He was a sexual predator. He's been to jail. You know, just you name it, he's done it. So he was not a great guy for me to be around, not a great guy for my mother to be around. All around, just not a great situation. I live with them for a little bit. And I don't have, like, tons of recollection from that. But nonetheless, eventually, this is where the story kind of turns around a little bit. My grandparents, specifically my grandfather, figured out what was going on because I came to him one day. I don't remember this, but again, most of the stuff that I know is because I've been told, not because I remember. But he came to me, or I came to him and said, I guess I call him Poppy.
Good old Poppy.
Yeah, good old Poppy. I said, Poppy, I am hungry. I guess I said I'm being starved. I have no food, whatnot. And then, you know, that he didn't know this. So obviously at that point, he, pretty cool story. He came over to the house we were living in, and he came with a shovel and said to the guy who was living there at the moment, my mom wasn't there, said, you need to leave this house or else you know what's about to happen. So my grandfather wasn't playing games. And thankfully, that made the guy move out, and him and my mother distanced themselves. And then that was the point which I got basically brought in by my grandparents. All this to say, and then I live with my grandparents since then. I live by myself now, but I live with them during high school and all middle school. Wow. And all that to say, like you were saying, you know, granted, I didn't really know exactly what was going on at the moment because I was so young, but, you know, through the trial, right, like we're talking about, and through these horrible things that can happen, maybe not even at your own fault, but just because you're in the situation that you're in, you know, it can work out for good. And I couldn't have been blessed more, honestly, in my life to be raised by my grandparents. And yeah, it just goes to show, like, I'm a big believer, like, with my company and with my childhood that, like, embracing the suck, you know, you've kind of heard that, but embracing the suck is honestly a really good motto for life. And it goes back to your faith. Like, sometimes you're like, you know, you're not reading your Bible. You don't feel connected to Jesus. But if you can sit there and embrace the moment and keep moving forward, like we're talking about,
right.
You know, you don't want to read your Bible, you read the Bible. You don't want to go to church tonight, go to church. If you don't want to go to church this morning, you're tired, you got to go. You know, kind of just like keep showing up. And while I was young, I kept showing up somehow. and my grandfather showed up. You know, it's a testament to what going through the suck can do, because now I can't be more blessed with my life and from spiritually with my grandparents. I'm engaged now. Like, I own my own company. Like, I can't be more blessed. It's because I embraced the suck and went through the suck. I needed to go through it.
Yeah. And you chose an alternate route.
Yep.
Right.
Cause, I believe when you find yourself in those moments of things are out of your control, maybe it is by your own fault, your own choices. You still have a choice in that moment of what you're going to do. Are you going to give in? Are you going to give up? Yeah. Or, you know, find an alternate route and keep moving forward and create a new future. And maybe it's repenting, turning around and turning your ways and changing the way you think or the way you operate, the way you live, and actually living a new life. And I mean, that's what it is to follow Jesus anyway. You know, he says the old is gone, the new is here.
Yeah.
And that's truly faith, is that he can take the old life and say, that's the past.
Yep.
And he walks the journey with us. And as we follow him step by step, we get to step into a new future. And what I love about the story that you didn't mention is, like, because of that, you found yourself in church.
Oh, yeah.
With your grandparents.
Yeah. Yep, I did.
And in that season, I love that part because, like, they brought you to the place that would help you the most.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I didn't want to go at first. You know, as you're a young kid, they just brought me there. They said they just kicked me out of their car and said, go to youth group. And I said, all right, fair enough. I'm here. So I guess I'm making most of it.
I wasn't sick or dying. I was at church.
I was at church.
Even if I was sick, I might be at church, depending on how dire.
Yeah.
No, but
the fever.
That's a race of faith, truly. Yeah. I know there's many stories that you shared with me in moments of your life where you've had to persevere. You had to be resilient and say, like, God's called me to this. And even though I feel like giving up, I'm choosing not to.
Yeah.
What would it look like right now if you didn't act based off your feelings, but based off your commitment and based off a decision? Say, I've already chosen Quitting isn't an option. I'm not going to give up my faith. I'm not going to give up and give in to the pressure, to the disappointment, to even the circumstance. But what I love is, like, out of those moments, I think we can create a new future and start a new race. We can start running in a different direction. And what I love about running, I've been getting into running a little bit lately. I've been following this guy that does marathons, Nick Bear. We talk about him all the time.
And I'm still at the walking level.
You got your running shoes on, though.
I got my running shoes on, but I'm walking.
What I love about running is, like, every run just starts with a step. Just starts with a step. And step after step after step, you keep on moving forward in the direction. You keep on running. Your pace might change throughout the run or for the purpose, for that season or where you're at. But the race of faith is keep on moving forward. It's keep on following Jesus. And kind of want to ask you, like, how do you find joy in the trial? How in the moments where maybe it's of your control or the circumstance or whatever, but, like, how do we in the race of faith, because you've been doing this for a long time. You know, I've had a front row seat to the highs, to the lows, but I feel like in it all, somehow you still sought the Lord and you found joy in those moments, that the season didn't dictate your joy. Was it disappointment? Yes, but you still had joy. You still somehow love people when you yourself were so hurt. You still showed up and served when you, I always, like, that always blew my mind of how, like, this man could, like, show up every Sunday for who knows how many years, past what, like 20, 30 years. You've shown up week in and week out for others, even when you're going through stuff on your own life that people would never even know, but because you make people a priority and you decide that, hey, no matter what, I'm in this race for the long haul that I'm going to find joy in every season. So maybe if you could share a story of, like, one of those seasons of in your race. Of
the season I'm in right now, maybe. No, I think it's like James is saying, that you got to, it's a choice. You know, you can choose joy or you can complain about your circumstance. And at the end of the day is, really, we're here on earth. Once we have a true relationship with Jesus, when we're really know that this is temporary, that it's really what we're building for is for eternal things, your perspective changes. I think there was a season in my life where it was about me and my career and what I wanted, and then I had to go through those moments with God and deal with trials. I always thought, I think a turning point with trials, when you're wrestling with trials, because they're going to happen. Life is complicated. There's people out there doing things that you have no control of, that you just be driving and they might hit you, whatever the case may be. But as you go through life, you just have to determine to really choose faith, you know, to take that step forward and not stay in that moment, in that trial, and let it defeat you. I mean, if you read scripture, you'll clearly see and understand that Jesus already won. The battle's already won. It's what you do with the running part of your life. Many examples. Wow. I don't know where to start. I've been through it all, I think. I've been, I haven't been shipwrecked yet, but I think I've been close to many other things, like Paul, but it's difficult to embrace, because when you're in the moment, I think you have to, like you said, you have to embrace the hardship and know that you're not alone. I think a lot of times when we're in those moments, we're like, I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one dealing with this pain or this trial. And the reality is to guide you and to get you into a place of perseverance that produces character. And so through this life journey, is I'm still learning. I'm still fighting. I'm still trying to run in the way I can. And I'm just trying to guard my faith. I think once you start doubting and letting that sink in, then your mindset shifts to the circumstance rather to the Savior.
It's interesting. And I think, like, as we talk about, like, resilience and pushing through pain and perseverance and these things. Like, I think of like RPE. This man has taught me so much about fitness and opened my eyes to protein and all these important things for your health. And one of the first things you ever taught me, I remember we were at a Chipotle after like 10 p.m. We would talk for like an hour about like health and all these things. Get this man, if you get him at a restaurant one-on-one talking about anything fitness related, he will change your life. Yeah. And you're like, the next day, let's go. I'm locking in. I'm about to be shredded like Andrews. I remember when you taught me about RPE, it like changed my whole perception. Because originally when I would work out, I would go all out and leave nothing in the tank. And then in the next day when I had to show up, I'm like, man, I'm so sore. I cannot move. Yeah. And my body is not going to be able to function. Yep. Like, I cannot show up. But it's because I exerted so much, pushed myself too far, that I'm not going to be able to persevere and show up the next day.
So good.
And RPE, rate of perceived exertion,
good job.
This concept that you've taught me that truly changed my framework when it came to working out. Because what it is you can perceive the amount of energy you are going to exert. Mm-hmm. So week one, we start light, RPE 7. So 7 out of 10, you're not going max fail. You're going to 7, so you could do 3 more reps. So then that way, week one, you're getting into it. Week two, you go RP 8, up the weight a little bit, but you're not going all out. Because why? You're building the strength and the muscle to endure and to persevere, because it's not just a 1 week thing.
Yep.
We don't work out just for 1 week and we're shredded the next week.
Yep.
If you look at any healthy person
yep.
that is running or that is working out, it's over a long period of time that they develop the habit and the lifestyle absolutely. And truly complete health, because they continue to show up every time.
Yeah.
And I think that's important when we talk about perseverance, because a lot of time we don't have any gas in the tank left.
Yeah.
We're like, we show up on Sunday night, and we're like, what a guy. And we're going all in and we're like all out. And then we stay up late in community and we're hanging out, and Monday comes along and it's like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm not opening my Bible. I'm going to lay in bed. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to come back home, and that's it. And like, that's not the race of faith. That's not persevering. What does it look like to push through the pain of the moment and develop a perseverance that truly can last for the long, a faith for the long haul?
Yeah.
In the same way of like fitness or health, spiritually speaking, like in our spirit, how can we have a faith that lasts for the long haul?
Yeah. No, I think... I love that. I think the way I like to put it and the way I try to remember is like, at least in my life and a lot of people's life, on the other side of things that suck and the hardships and stuff like that is usually like right when you're about to give up, is right on the other side of things is the good part, you know? Whether it be like me starting a business or right on the other side, like right when I didn't want to do it and right when I was contemplating not doing it, Once I just pulled the trigger, right, that's where the good stuff comes. Like in terms of like spiritual maturity, right? Mm-hmm. Right when you're going through like you don't feel Jesus, man, you just feel like lost. Right? If you can just keep persevering, and you're not gonna be perfect. That's the biggest thing. Like I tell them both all the time, right? You don't gotta be perfect when you're persevering. Mm-hmm. It's not about perfection. It's about, you know, out of the 7 times you have to persevere, maybe you persevere 4 times, right? But you still, right, are over 50% of the time persevering. And over time, as you grow up, right, maybe you persevere 5 times and 6 times, right? It's not about perfection when you're persevering. I think it's
so good.
A lot about
maturing.
And over time, hopefully the percentage of which you are persevering increases. You know, that's the way I like to put it.
I love that. So it's like, who are you on the other side of perseverance?
Mm-hmm.
And it even says in the verse, like, let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and be complete, not lacking anything.
Yes.
So perseverance actually develops you.
Yeah.
When you commit to something and are consistent, you are resilient, and you keep on moving forward over time, it truly changes you and matures you and creates you to be who you are today. And on the other side of perseverance, who are you? You know, what does your faith look like? If you would commit, even during 21 days of prayer and fasting, a couple of us with a couple of people, we're like, we're going to read the whole Bible in 30 days. Yeah. And we did it. Three of us completed it.
Yeah.
Wow. Shout out Chase in the back.
Yeah.
we did it and we persevered. You know, I was on a train, on a plane, and I was reading. I was at home. Sometimes I had to wake up from falling asleep and then just be like, I have to finish my reading for the day. But I persevered through it. Mm. And on the other side of that challenge of reading 40, 50, 60 chapters of the Bible every day, I was able to accomplish something that developed me and matured me and matured my faith in a new way. And we were talking the other day. I want you to share that story of the first meet that you did with the powerlifting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then kind of how that played out with the next year and the impact that made.
So, like I said, I'm president of the powerlifting club. So I think it was my first year being the president, being new to this kind of position. We were going to our first, like the first time ever that USF had ever sent a collegiate powerlifting team to a collegiate state meet. So it was a big deal. And so, you know, we get there, we have a team hotel, it's all great. And we compete. And at the end of the competition, you know, there's a scoring, like, did we win? Cause they have to add up all these points based on placing, blah, 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 blah. And someone comes up to me and says, did you register your team like to score? I said, well, I'm here. So I think so. And they said, no, you have to like send in paperwork and all this. And I was like, you're kidding. Like, and I forgot exactly, but we were supposed to like be like second or first or something like that. So we were supposed to place high that year. And I literally did all this training. All these people did all this training to literally, not for nothing, but you know, we weren't able to score. So we all like left that meet after hearing that news, like, what the heck? Like, yeah. this sucks. And this meet only happens once a year. So we had to wait a whole another year to get this opportunity again. But just like we were talking about perseverance, like, you know, obviously that sucked. And in the moment, like we were all like, you know, this is horrible. And we had to wait a whole another year to even get the opportunity to win again. But I think the nice thing that we did as a team was we were like, okay, you know, we can take this and let's make sure next year, right, we do everything right and let's just show up again. Mm. We'll show up again. We learn from our lessons, right? Which I think is a big thing from, you know, sucky times. You learn from them, right? Which is the whole reason why God gives us bad things, at least I believe, is to so you can learn from it. You know, if everything was good in this world, you wouldn't really learn much, right? We'd just be, I like this. I'm in a Bible study and we were talking about it. Like, if there was no almost sin in the world, right? And if there was no bad things in this world, we would just be robots controlled by God. But God
wouldn't even need him.
Yeah, like we wouldn't even need God if we were just robots. Like we're just sitting here, everything's great. But God uses these bad things to mature us spiritually, physically. That was a side rant. But nonetheless, we came around to the next year and it was quite the moment. We were able to win for the first time in USF's history, which was really cool. So woohoo. But that was really cool, you know, in that moment,
you filed the right paperwork.
I filed the right paperwork. I did. I made sure the paperwork was done. And, you know, in that moment, I literally, Reagan remembers, I just cried. Like, I just was bawling. Like, I literally, uncontrollably, like, just literally just bam. Yeah. So that was a fantastic moment, right? Going through the suck. Last year sucked. This year we won. Awesome moment. Like, top of the mountaintop. And I think the beautiful thing, just like in your spiritual life, if you can build the habits, the good habits, mm-hmm. You can carry that and be able to build momentum.
That's right. Good.
So Once we had the momentum of winning one time, it was, let's not put our foot off the gas. Just like reading the Bible, you know, if you can do it for 30 days, right, you're more likely to put that foot on the gas and keep going, you know, if you just try to do it for one day. You know, if you can just slowly build that habit and build that momentum, it's huge. Momentum is everything in life, in your spiritual life, going to the gym, you know, serving your partner. But came around to the next year, we built momentum. And I think it's really cool about like the spiritual maturity part. We came around and we were able to win again. This was 2024, so just this past November. So that was really cool. And, you know, that first time we won, I was like bawling, just uncontrollably. And this time, like the spiritual maturity kind of, I wouldn't even say a spiritual maturity, but maturity in general, this time it felt no need to cry. And not that I didn't care, I cared just as much, and it was an awesome moment. But I think that plays a role into like
where the joy set in.
The joy, and like at this point, like just like in our spiritual life, you slowly, if you can build momentum, you know, you become mature. And now I'm like, I don't even feel the need to like, it's not this overwhelming I won. It's like, okay, I won. Let's just keep our foot on the gas. Like, we can't get overexcited about this. It's great we won, but just like if you read your bio for one day, right, you can't get overexcited. Like, it's great, fantastic job, but we need to do it tomorrow, right? We need to do it the next day, right? Just like year after year with this team I try to build, I try to instill with our people is that, you know, we need to make sure we keep our foot on the gas pedal and we don't get too excited. And we need to keep persevering because challenges will come. It's inevitable, but it's about persevering year by year. So I think that's just really cool. That was a story, like, that's you know, amazing. Going from losing to winning first time, being overwhelmed, and just now being mature in my role and as a team, it can be related to the spiritual life as well.
So, yeah, and even like talking about like choices that you make, like you could have taken that first year and be like, all right, I'm quitting.
Yep.
And I'm done.
I already showed on my one.
I'm not going to ever compete again, or I'm not going to lead this team next year. But like, you guys put your head down and you committed and say, we're going to show up again next year. You train for a whole year.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so important of like the decisions and the commitments we make of like, even when it doesn't happen the way we thought it was, we're on a run on the race of faith.
Yep.
That this thing is a long journey. And I believe it really starts with the step. Yeah, and today we all have a different step to make.
Yeah.
I believe that truly in life, we find ourselves at a crossroad, an intersection of faith. And we have a decision to make, you know, what route are we going to take? What way are we going to go? Are we going to choose to be resilient, to be committed, to follow Jesus, to keep moving forward, no matter the disappointment, no matter the heartbreak, no matter the doubt, no matter the things that don't happen or line up the way we thought it was, or no matter the timeline of it. Like, sometimes if like you would just wait one more year, maybe that's when the breakthrough was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, you never know when it's going to happen, but you got to keep on showing up.
Take a step.
If you don't show up, you'll never see it. Because maybe it's just God is waiting for you for that specific time. That specific, he's going to use someone else, or he's going to orchestrate something and it'll align in the perfect God timing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because why? This person decided to run their race and this person is running their race. And as we're all running, we're all intersecting somehow, and God moves in those moments. And we create these momentums where he can move and be evident in this world.
Absolutely.
And so, we really want to encourage you to keep on running and to take a step today.
Just keep moving.
We were joking with my mom, and we were talking about doing a Floodgates 5K.
Yeah, let's go.
And she's like, I don't run. I was like, you can walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. You don't have to run. Running is not the thing. The thing is movement.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
If you got to start walking, then start skipping, start jogging, start running, start sprinting. Like,
run, walk.
Everyone has a different pace.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
But as a run club, as a community, as a church, yeah, as followers of Jesus, let's run the race of faith together. We're going to take a moment. You want to pray for everyone, everyone in the room, everyone listening. And I truly believe, we hope that this has been encouraging to you, to those listening on the podcast. And we just want to just pray for everyone's journey, whatever that step may be.
So good. So, God, we just trust you even in the trial. I pray for those in the room that need to take a step of faith tonight and just simply trust you. No matter what they're going through, no matter what the circumstance is painted like or looks like, that you're with them, that you're running with them, that you're not only carrying us through by your Spirit, but you're leading us and you're guiding our steps. So I pray for everyone in the room in a hard trial, they would learn to find joy through Jesus, that they would persevere, they would not fall down, they would not give up, they would not stay stagnant by not moving, that they would just take one step of faith, step of faith toward trusting you, a step of faith of surrendering their life to you, a step of faith of just moving forward by faith and not by sight. As you lead us, as you guide us, is our prayer tonight, that you're inviting us to surrender our trials, our hearts, our minds, and allow you to produce a spirit of perseverance in us so that we can develop the mature character, that we can keep moving step by step, step by step, one step at a time. Together, we're united to run the good race you called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This has been so much fun. We hope that's been encouraging to you. Continue to live by faith, be known by love, and be a beacon of hope. We love you so much.